It was worth a year's wages. He did not say this because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. As keeper of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. "Leave her alone," Jesus replied. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you will not always have me." Meanwhile, a large crowd of Jews found out that Jesus was there, and they came, not only because of him, but also to see Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. And so the chief priests made plans to kill Lazarus as well. For on account of him, many of the Jews were going over to Jesus and putting their faith into him. Continuing on. The very next day, that great crowd that had come for the feast heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. They took palm branches and they went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the King of Israel." Jesus found a young donkey and sat upon it. As it is written, "Do not be afraid, O daughter of Zion. See, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt." At first, his disciples did not understand all of this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that they had done these things to him. Now the crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead continued to spread the word. Many people, because they had heard that he had given this miraculous sign, went out to meet him. So the Pharisees said to one another, "See, this is getting us nowhere. Look how the whole world has gone after him." This is John chapter 12. It's the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Amen. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts this day and beyond be pleasing to you. Pray this in the name of Jesus. Lord, you know my heart. You know the hearts of those who have gathered. Now give us ears to hear your word. You are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I sat this week and I studied and I reflected upon not just Jesus' anointing at Bethany, and not just his triumphant entry, which again I have said are often separated, but when I started studying them and reflecting upon them as one story, the story that begins Jesus' journey to the cross, back to back, this night, this morning, I saw there to be a consistent thread of questioning in both of these passages. And the question is this, and it's what I'd like for us to consider this morning. What are the motives of those who follow Jesus? What is your motive for being in his company? What is your heart's desire in believing in Jesus? What are your intentions for being here, for being a Christian, for being part of a church? What really is our heart's content when it comes to calling Jesus God's Son, our Lord, our Savior? What are your intentions for your faith in God? Those are all different ways in which I want to ask that question today. And Jesus kind of brings it to light here. It really hit me when I saw his response to Mary after she poured that oil onto his feet and began to anoint him in that way. And Judas, of course, takes objection to this. And Jesus then speaks directly at everyone in the room. And he brings up the topic of one's intentions. He says, leave her alone. It was intended that this oil, this perfume, would be used for my anointing. And so Jesus quickly speaks to the intentions of Mary, and it got me thinking about the intentions of all the characters in these stories. So let's consider them here quickly. Here are the few characters and their intentions that I want to draw upon. First, there were the Pharisees and the chief priests and the teachers of the law. They're characters that you find in this both stories. There's the crowd that are gathering outside of the house where they knew Jesus was in, and there was Lazarus, and there was the crowd that gathered along the road on his way into Jerusalem, waving palm branches. We investigate their intentions. There's Martha. Martha was in the room there that evening. She was the one serving the dinner to Jesus and his disciples. We want to maybe investigate briefly her intentions in following and being in the company of Jesus. And then there are likely the two main characters of these stories, and that is Mary. She's the one who anointed Jesus with expensive perfume. We sort of know what her intentions were. Jesus makes that clear to us. And then there is, of course, Judas and his intentions for following Jesus. And what you find here is when you look at these various characters, the Pharisees, the crowds, Martha, Mary, and Judas, what you begin to see are people are coming and keeping company with Jesus for really different reasons. Almost each and all of these have different motives for being and following Jesus. And it makes me wonder how that is still consistent today, maybe even with some of us here today. It doesn't seem likely that all of us are here today for the same reason. We all come and follow Jesus with different motives and intentions, perhaps. Now, I don't expect that there's anyone here today who have the same intentions that the Pharisees, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law had. Of course, their intention was to trip up Jesus. They had a plot to kill him. They wanted to discredit him. They wanted to slander him and make him known to be something that he wasn't. They wanted Jesus to go away, to be discredited, devalued. And though I wouldn't suspect that there's anyone in the room today whose intent is to discredit Jesus or to plot to undermine him in the work of his kingdom and his teachings, we would all say amen to the fact that there are people out there, right? I mean, we live in a world where people seek to discredit other people, to devalue them, to make them look out to be something that they're not, to bring out the contradictions of all the things and to lead people away from them. If you don't believe that as true, turn on Fox News, CNN, MSNBC, CBS News, or ABC News, or ESPN. Turn on any major network. And you will always find a reporter who is trying to discredit and devalue an athlete, a politician, or somebody. That's a bipartisan view, by the way. It doesn't matter who's the president or what athlete or sports team you cheer for. There will always be somebody out there seeking to destroy, devalue, and discredit other human beings. Now, again, I don't suspect that there's anyone in the room today that is seeking to do that to Jesus and his church and his kingdom, but let it be known, there are groups and outlets and people in this world whose sole purpose seems to discredit Jesus and his church. Have you seen that? Amen? All right. Praise God that no one here today is a Pharisee. But there may be in the crowd here today some who are similar to the crowd that gathered when Jesus was walking the earth. There were lots of people who were following after Jesus simply to be entertained, to see a miraculous sign, to see the circus roll into town, to see Lazarus, the freak show, who Jesus raised from the dead. People were coming to Jesus and following Jesus just to see what would happen, just to be part of the crowd, just to be part of the movement and to see what's going on. In fact, one of the things that I realized at our study this past Thursday night is this triumphant entry. It states clearly here that lots of people were there. Of course, many were there with the right intentions, praising the one who would become their king. But there were others there just simply to see if Jesus would do some sort of magical trick. And what I got to thinking was, wait a minute, he's going into Jerusalem. Jerusalem is an occupied state. It was occupied by Rome. It wasn't the Jewish's people, land anymore. They were foreigners in their own backyard. And they were wanting a king. They were somebody to rise up from the roots of Jesse and to become their king and to throw out Rome and to establish the Jewish kingdom on earth. They were looking for a political leader, someone who would overthrow the Roman government and establish the Jewish state. Many people waving those palms was like waving a political campaign sign. Jesus for king! Jesus for king! It was a political movement just as much as it was a spiritual movement. And I wonder how many people were there just simply to raise up that rally sign. Jesus for president. Jesus for an occupied Jewish state. Think about that. There were people there just to be part of the political movement because they wanted to see their land occupied again and their theocracy established right then and there. Maybe that's some of the people in the crowd. Their sole intentions to follow after Jesus was to be part of some sort of political movement or uprising. Of course, there were some there just to see Lazarus in the walking dead. This guy was dead. He was, you know, they just wanted to be a spectator of the most popular TV show at the time. And in Jesus' time, the most popular TV show was The Walking Dead. He rose Lazarus from the dead. He made a dead dude alive, and he was walking and breathing. And he smelled and he stunk because he was dead for 3 days. And there were people that just wanted to see that. It was just like it's like being a popular TV show. And there are folks who go to Jesus because it's the popular thing to do. Interesting when you look at the intentions of some people in this story. Then there was Martha. What was Martha's intention? Her intentions are clear. What was she doing? She was serving. She was this busybody serving, providing the meal. And her whole purpose in being there was to serve and to get everything that needed to be done. She was the Martha Stewart in Jesus' life. And we know of in other stories that Jesus sort of said to Martha, "Whoa, chill out, Martha. Just enjoy my presence. Sit at my feet. Learn from me." And how many of us are here today as church members or Christians? And we sometimes lose sight of the fact that we're really here for Jesus and that we get so wrapped up in all the things that we have to do for the church. And we serve this meal and serve that meal, and we have this event and this youth event and that youth event. And we sing this song, we do this choir, we do all of these things, we go to all of these meetings, and we're busybodies. We're great. We're doing it all for the Lord, right? Just as Martha did it for the Lord. And there's nothing wrong with that. It's wonderful. But sometimes that becomes our sole involvement with Jesus, is to just simply serve and do, and we lose sight of the fact that we're oftentimes just sort of just enjoy his presence in our life. That we work for Jesus and we're busy for Jesus, but oftentimes we forget that he's in the room. And there are definitely some of us here in the room that fall into that trap. Right? I'm one of them. And then there's the Judas. What were the intentions of Judas in following after Jesus? This is really where you do some self-examination. Judas is really only involved with Jesus because he wants to make a name for who? Himself. He wants to profit off of this man's novelty and following. He wants to personally profit from it. You know who in the room here today has to be most careful not to fall into the Judas trap? Anyone want to guess? Who here today in this room has to be most careful not to profit off the name of Jesus? It's me. I make a living doing this. Trust me, this is a hard thing. I know I kept you long last week. Why? Because I had to talk about money. These are tough. That's a tough balance. I'm going to be a famous preacher. I'm going to profit off of Jesus. And that's a real fine line, making a living and profiting off of, making your well-being off of the gospel of Jesus. I have to always keep myself in check to make sure that I'm up here speaking to you today on behalf of the name of Jesus and not to make my own name great. And then there's Mary, whose intentions are made clear, who anoints Jesus with a very expensive perfume, who was intended from its beginning to anoint Jesus. And her intentions are so clear here, and sometimes you have to do a little researching, and there's a friend of mine here in the congregation who helped me see this a couple years ago. He says, do you know how Mary afforded that expensive perfume? Do you know anything about Mary in this story? What her former lifestyle was before she met Jesus? Let's just say she profits off the indecency of an undesired profession of a lady. See what I'm saying? She was maybe involved in some things that none of us would want our daughters involved with. And yet, she comes to Jesus with the full intention of having a new life, one that has been set free from the chains of sin and brokenness and all that speaks of mortality in our world. Oh, that's the intentions that we should come to Jesus with. Amen? And so, are you a Judas? Are you a Martha? Are you a Pharisee? Are you a number in the crowd? Or are we Mary's, whose heart's intent is to follow after Jesus so that we might have life, life to the fullest, to God's glory? Let us pray. Lord, search us and know us. Know the intent of our hearts. Know our motives. And Lord, cast away anything that is within us that is unclean or impure or simply just selfish. And instill upon us a faith that is unwavering, a faith that is so focused on seeking you in your life-giving spirit, the forgiveness of all that has gone wrong, and the hope for all that is good. May that, Lord, be the true intentions of your people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. For communion this morning, I invite our elder Patty George to come forward, and we think about Jesus and his journey to the cross. And in a couple weeks, we'll talk about the day he met with his disciples in the upper room. It was there that he took bread. And in showing it to his disciples and in giving thanks to God for it, he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, broken for you. Take and eat of it. Do so in remembrance of me." Then after supper ended, he took the cup. And again, after giving thanks to it for it, he said to his disciples, "This is the cup of the new covenant, sealed by my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of your sins. Take and drink from it, and do so in remembrance of me." And so as we follow after Jesus, may our hearts be intended and pure today as we come forward to take part of this wonderful meal that he has invited us to. All who trust in Jesus today and who seek his life-giving spirit are welcome to break a piece off of the bread, dip it into the cup, and rejoice that he is our Lord. Please come. Yes.